Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guests on this edition are clinician Melissa Salmon and marketing coordinator Cynthia Barrera for Sovereign Health in El Paso, Texas, to talk to us about the growing drug epidemic in our country. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. In 2016, there was an estimated 65,000 deaths due to overdose, and half of all of these deaths were due to prescription opioids. How do you compare this to other drug addictions? Melissa?
In comparison to the 1980s, when we were having a crack epidemic in the United States, the differences there is that the heroin, it acts in the body in a different way, so the risks of overdose and death from those are higher than that of crack because the body metabolizes it differently.
So then a lot of these deaths that we've had was due to the prescription opioids, but it goes further from the prescription opioid to the heroin, as you
say. It does, absolutely, yes. I think that the opioid addiction has been growing since the 1990s due to the prescription drugs that have been being prescribed for pain management. What ends up happening is that once these patients that are prescribed the pills are no longer able to get the pills, they will tend to go out and get other drugs such as heroin.
What are some of the causes?
Well, there are a number of contributing factors. So we talked a little bit about the prescription pills and then the move from prescription pills to the street drugs like heroin. When we look at contributing factors for addiction, we're looking at family dynamics, we're looking at past traumas, we're looking at self-medicating. A lot of times the clients that we see come in with a dual diagnosis, co-occurring disorders, so they have mental health issues that are not properly medicated and they're using the drugs to medicate that as well. And because it's not monitored by a medical doctor, the chances of overdose are higher.
How does the border area compare to the rest of the nation?
Well, the border area, because we're living in El Paso, the drugs that are being brought over from Mexico, I believe there was a 50% increase in the drugs coming over the border in the past 4 years alone.
But this is the heroin?
The heroin specifically, yes.
What other kind of drugs?
Cocaine, methamphetamine. The prescription pills as well, because those are also sold on the streets illegally.
Even though they're not being prescribed by a physician?
Absolutely, yes.
So why do you think people become addicted?
Well, I think that there are many contributing factors. One of the main causes that we see with the clients that come into our facility are the people are getting into accidents, maybe car accident, and they're given prescription meds for pain management. What ends up happening is from the prescription meds, they tend to go to street drugs. It's cheaper than paying for the prescription meds. The opioids actually work on the body differently in the sense that you become addicted right away physically. So when you don't have those substances anymore in your body, you tend to detox. So this is one of the reasons why they tend to continue to use, and they increase in the amount that they use because they build a tolerance to that. So it's an avoidance of pain, and it's a seeking of pleasure, which we get from the dopamine release that happens when they're taking those prescription pills or the street drugs.
As a clinician, what is it you do? How do you work with the clients?
We work with the clients on all levels. It's a very comprehensive treatment program that we have, and we're addressing the underlying issues. If we need to address pain management, we're addressing pain management as well. We involve the family in therapy, we do individual therapy, and we do group therapy as well.
So a lot of these, you said some of them had maybe a car accident and they start them off on pain medication.
Yes.
Are some of these children, and from children to seniors?
Yes, from children to seniors. The major age group that we're seeing is about 18 to 25. But statistically, the death rate of these opioids is under 50.
So this is a national epidemic.
This is a national health crisis, and it is increasing every year since the 1990s. We don't see as much on the West Coast as we do on the East Coast. There seems to be more of the prescription overdoses on the East Coast, but it is trickling down this way to the West Coast.
So are there more facilities starting up to try to help people?
Yes, there are. Coming from Los Angeles, I can tell you that there are so many different treatment facilities, and there are so many options for people who have addictions, nonprofits and, you know, for-profits. And in El Paso, when I moved here, I didn't find that there were that many. We have a handful, but Sovereign Health is, I believe, one of the only private insurance facilities that we have here. That offers the treatment that we do. We also offer medically detoxed, so it's monitored by a doctor. We don't have to transport out unless it's absolutely necessary that we get medical clearance for them to come into detox. But they'll spend about 7 days in a detox, and then they'll start treatment.
And we are the newest facility that Sovereign Health has. We have many in California, Florida, Arizona, Utah. There's different facilities, different programs. We have all males, all females, teens. We have an executive program. We have a 50 and older program. There's different, whatever feels comfortable for you. El Paso is the only one that's in Spanish as well, so that's also very important. You know, you want to have your treatment in your native language, so that's very important to many people.
Do you see that this opioid epidemic is growing?
Absolutely. It is every year it is growing. And in 2016, half of all of the deaths are attributed to the opioid use and prescription medications. And also, drug overdoses were the leading cause of death in Americans under the age of 50 in 2015. So there's an increase from 2015 to 2016 alone.
And so for 2018, we can expect an increase.
Yes, unfortunately. It's a sad situation, but yes, we can. And we're seeing more and more people coming into treatment for that. And when we ask them, you know, how did you start using, a lot of times it's the prescription drugs, and that goes into IV heroin use.
How does mental health also play into the drug addictions?
Well, the mental health aspect of it is a large contributing factor. Especially when there's a diagnosis of bipolar or depression or anxiety, schizophrenia even, because a lot of times the clients that come in are self-medicating. They're using because they're not medication compliant to begin with, and they're trying to stabilize by using illicit drugs. So we definitely address these things coming in. Detox first to stabilize and see if some of those symptoms are actually coming from the drug use, or are they underlying pre-existing conditions? And in the case that they are underlying pre-existing conditions, we can medicate for any of the mental health issues that the clients have coming in.
Are there any myths or stigmas about receiving mental health?
Absolutely. I think that as soon as people hear that you have depression or anxiety, there's an automatic label that goes to along with that, that you're not able to deal with things, or a lot of times people say, oh, you're depressed, just get over it. Why don't you just suck it up, deal with it? It's not that easy. It's a chemical imbalance that needs to be balanced with medication a lot of times.
And do you talk to the families to be able to help their family members that are addicted?
It's imperative, we think, at Sovereign Health to include the families. We do an intensive family weekend once a month to invite the families in for the weekend so that they can get that education on what is going on with their family member. A lot of times the family members think the same thing about the addiction. Why don't you just stop? What's the problem? And it's really not that easy. We do weekly family sessions with the family as well in order to build that communication, and a lot of times they lack boundaries in the family. A lot of times the addiction is it's a family cycle. Those things need to be addressed in order to have the client maintain that long-term sobriety and stability.
Suicides have also increased because of these addictions.
Yes, they have. People have the feeling of hopelessness and helplessness when they're using drugs and they don't know how to stop. And a lot of times they don't know that there are facilities that can help and there are treatment options for them.
So you've been here in El Paso 4 years?
About 4 years.
And what has been a good story to tell about something that you've really been able to help someone?
Wow. There have been a handful since I've been working in this field, even in California. But I think that the thing that I enjoy the most is being able to bring the families back together. They're fractured on some level from the substance use. It destroys families. It breaks them apart. And being able to see that cohesion, the families coming back together and being able to support each other and to talk and to be healthy again.
In helping children, what would be the main thing you would tell a mother or father?
Educate yourself, for starters. This is the one thing that I do when I start to work with a client and their family is I really give them a lot of information, education on the substance use, whatever the substance is that they're using, any of the mental health issues that they have. They're fully informed on that. I would say to be supportive. And it's very hard to let go of the past. That's one of the main things that, you know, I like to say that a lot of times people in the families have PTSD from living with that person who has the substance use. And as soon as they see a little behavior come out, they are taken back to when that individual was using and they automatically go into defensive mode. So to, you know, try very hard to be open to the future, and live in the present and to let go of the past.
And how can Sovereign Health help the individual let go of the past?
Well, this isn't an easy task. It's difficult to let go of the past, and it's difficult to forgive your family member. It's difficult to forgive yourself for the things that are done during that addiction. But what we do is we provide that therapy individually and that family therapy to work through those issues and especially to address the underlying causes, because it could be family dynamic to begin with that impacted that person to use substances.
So do the family members come to you, or does the individual who's addicted?
So how it works is the individual that is addicted will contact us. We admit that person, and we invite the family to come in once a week. A lot of times we have patients that are out of the state. We transport in. We do provide transportation in a lot of cases if there's not funds available to do that. In the case that the family is not in the state, we do telehealth. We have phones that we can use that are secured, and we have secured video that we can use to do the family sessions.
So the initial contact, how do they know about Sovereign Health?
There's an 800 number that they call. Cynthia?
Yes. So the number is 866-971-9412.
Now, how do they know to go to Sovereign Health as opposed to other addiction facilities?
Well, there are a lot of different addiction facilities that they can choose from. It's really based on preference, what their needs are. What I like about Sovereign Health, though, in comparison to a lot of the other facilities that I've worked at, it is a very comprehensive facility, and we address the individual as a whole and as an individual based on that person's needs.
So the website they can find out more information is at www.sovhealth.com. And you take walk-ins as well?
We do take walk-ins as well, and we'll do the intake when they come in. Some other options are referrals from court. Sometimes they have the patients have legal issues, and they're mandated into treatment by court. Sometimes these patients have children, and they are mandated into treatment by CPS as well, and we take that population as well. In addition, if the person does not have the funds to attend treatment, we do have a scholarship program that we have funds to help people that are not able to pay for treatment.
Well, I really appreciate you coming down and talking to us about this very serious national epidemic,
yes,
the opioid epidemic of drugs. Thank you for joining me on Puentes. Clinician Melissa Salmon and Marketing Coordinator Cynthia Barrera for Sovereign Health in El Paso.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.